Oh, well, praise the Lord, people. What a great day the Lord's given us to celebrate His resurrection. And I say unto you, happy Resurrection Sunday. We know the proper terminology because Easter was Ishtar, Babylonian goddess. So we don't celebrate that. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Praise God, folks, for our final hymn today prior to the sermon. I'd ask you to stand and open your hymnals to hymn number 332. We must sing this one today. Where are you there? I'm so glad that if you're saved, you are there. In Christ Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth, people. Praise the Lord.
Were you there when He crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Church. Oh, glory to God that He rose up from the grave. I am so thankful today for that blessed hope. Because He rose, we will rise, people. Keep that one in mind. And this week, did anybody need a fresh prayer list? Let's hot off the press from our secretary. Thank the Lord for Ellie and all that she does. Notice on the prayer list for this week, the verse at the top, I always like to put the verse, Matthew 28:6. He is not here. He is risen, as He said. Glory to God. So keep these in prayer, these that are in need, and grab your Bibles at this time. And open up with me today to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. and just prior to my preaching, I got something else to read to you. Sadly, we're living in the last days, as you know, church. Last week, I preached a message on a nation in crisis. And here's just one example of what I'm talking about. You know, you watch CNN and they act like everything's fine. It's not. We're in big trouble as a nation. Need to repent. We need revival. In Maryland, police report, a Maryland mother tried to decapitate her son with a bow saw. This is yesterday's news. Claims she felt overwhelmed. Now, listen to this. There's a lot of demonic possession going around right now in America. Aspen Hill, Maryland. Mother claims her son with autism required so much care and attention, she felt it best to slice off his head with a bow saw. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Montgomery County Police allege in a recently filed criminal charge affidavit obtained by ABC Channel 7. Authorities have charged Christina Petrie, 46, of Aspen Hill, Maryland, with attempted first-degree murder, first-degree child abuse, and second-degree child abuse. As police explained it, on Monday, March the 12th, an 11-year-old boy returned home from school to find his younger brother screaming on the family sofa. His mother, Petrie, was nearby, bouncing in between bouts of laughter and tears. The 11-year-old boy went upstairs to play video games. A short while later, Petrie reportedly appeared with a bow saw in her hand, inquiring as to why her 11-year-old son was not doing his homework. According to the criminal charging affidavit, Petrie raised the razor-sharp bow saw, and chased after her son, eventually pinning him down in a kneeling position. The 46-year-old then allegedly jammed the teeth of the saw against the back of her son's neck, moving it back and forth multiple times. The boy screamed, fearing his 5'6", 175-pound mother was about to behead him. Somehow, the child escaped. I'll tell you how. God's angels. Somehow, the child escaped, grabbing hold of the saw in the process. Petrie allegedly called her husband and confessed to attacking their eldest child. Petrie's husband took his wife to MedStar Montgomery Medical Center in Olney, Maryland, where she reportedly told staff she had felt overwhelmed and was not doing enough to help her children with their autism. Petrie shared personal fears that both of her sons would grow up to be a burden to society. Consequently, she believed they needed to die. When staff asked Petrie why she was at the hospital, the 46-year-old allegedly stated she had tried to kill her kids again. Folks, this wasn't the first time she tried this. My question to you is, what is this woman doing on the street? Why isn't she locked up somewhere where she can't hurt anybody? Obviously, she's got a hierarchy of demons over her life controlling her, and it's a danger to society. Folks, why am I reading that? Because this is what my sister sitting there, she can tell you. She sent me like 5 articles this week, all of which I could not believe what I was reading. Folks, I'm telling you, it is Satan has unleashed hordes of demons into our society. They're everywhere, causing people to do unbelievably dastardly deeds. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you and I need to stay prayed up. You and I need to stay studied up. And you and I need to stay on our knees and seek the Lord's face in these last days, folks, because it's all around us. We got voodoo just down the street here. 2 women tried to sacrifice their child, one of their children, to the god of voodoo. Oh, yeah. Why? Because Satan demands blood. He's evil. He always has been. He always will be. But I am so thankful today that we don't dwell on that. We celebrate our Lord's resurrection. He rose in victory over the grave, over the devil, and over death itself. I'm so thankful that he rose for our justification. Beloved, look with me here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. I want to come this resurrection Sunday this year. In my 30 years of preaching, I've never quite approached it in this way. I'm going to. Yesterday, as I was preparing this message, I said, "Oh Lord, that'll preach." I want to preach a message to you today, beloved, that I've entitled, "What If There Had Been No Resurrection?" What if there had been no resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Beloved, I want to speak to you today a sermon I've entitled, What If There Had Been No Resurrection? Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the reading of your holy word in chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. And Lord, as I contemplated these verses by the Apostle Paul, Lord, I began to see that certain things would occur in this world if there were never a resurrection of the Son of God. And Lord, it made me begin to tremble and shake to think that if the resurrection had not taken place, we who believe on the Lord Jesus would be of all people most miserable. Lord, I'm so thankful that he did rise again. I'm so thankful that he is not only risen and seated on his glorious throne in heaven, but he's coming back again. Glory to God. I'd ask you to bless your word today. Lord, I'd ask you to stir the hearts of your people that they may draw closer to thee. And, oh God, for those who don't know Jesus Christ, that they might be shaken out of their spiritual slumber, that they may awaken to spiritual life in Christ Jesus today. Through Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Dearly beloved, I want to approach this year's celebration of Resurrection Sunday from a slightly different standpoint. And I want us to consider something that is critically important to eternity future. Because there is an unthinkable question today that must be answered. The question is this: what if there had never been a resurrection of Jesus Christ? That is, what if there had been no resurrection and death conquered? What if death triumphed and Jesus Christ remained in that tomb? Now, we know, we who are born again, that after Jesus Christ was crucified, he was in the tomb for 3 days. Then he rose from the grave. Welcome, brother. Conquering sin and death. But listen carefully now. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, then 6 tragic things would now be true. I want to give you them today in my preaching. 6 tragedies would now be true had Jesus Christ not risen from that grave. First of all, if Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, all preaching would be profitless. Look at our text at verse 13. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. Look at this. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Notice here, church, that Paul makes a declaration in verse 14. He said, all of the preaching, all of the evangelizing, all of the soul winning in this world would be worthless, profitless, if there had been no resurrection. Now think about this fact, church. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then preaching is an exercise in futility. No one can be saved. All of us are doomed to the lake of fire. And, listen to me, all preachers of the gospel are just wasting their time. Hey man, I could be fishing right now. No, I've got a job to do because he did rise from the dead. Now listen to me. One of the most famous atheists of our time, so-called scientist Stephen Hawking, just died a couple days ago. And he was right that our preaching is just a bunch of nonsense and waste of time. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, Hawking was right. By the way, I guarantee you that Stephen Hawking is now a true believer. Did you know there's no unbelievers in hell? They're all true believers now. It's too late for them, but they all know the Bible is true. This simple fact would also make the Apostle Paul a liar and a fraud. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to move right along today. What if there had been no resurrection? Is my message today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, by the Holy Ghost, writes, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Now, why would Paul command preacher boy, Timothy, his disciple, to preach the word of God if there was no resurrection? Look at it. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why, Paul? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Folks, let me type them out. I don't want to go to bunny trail here, but we all we got in our pulpits today, oh yeah, they're shaking their heads, they know. We got a bunch of teachers. They don't preach. They're just like a Sunday school, they're just like an elementary school teacher. 1 + 1 = 2. Preach the word, Paul said. Why? For the time will come. Oh, by the way, church, the time has come. The time has come. You see empty pews in the church? Oh yeah. Why? Because of verse 3. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, there's the problem. They shall heap to themselves teachers, not preachers. Teachers! Make them feel good in their sin, having itching ears. Tickle my ear, teacher. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's fairy tales. Folks, listen to me. Paul would be a liar and a fraud. According to chapter 4, verse 2, he told him to preach the word because there was a resurrection. Now, listen carefully. Jesus Christ himself commanded the apostles to go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. This fact alone would make the Son of God a liar as well. Every tent revival, every Bible-believing church, every Bible college, every missionary, every soul winner, all would be worthless and vain, just wasting their lives away for no purpose whatsoever if there had been no resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I see another tragic thing that would now be true if there was no resurrection from the grave. Secondly, if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, secondly, your faith would be foolish. What you believe would be vain. Look with me at verse number, chapter 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now listen to me, beloved. The Greek word there for vain is kenos. It literally means void of truth. What you believe has no truth in it. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it totally worthless is what the word means. Did you hear that? If Jesus Christ is still in the tomb, then you believe a lie, and what you believe is absolute foolishness, as most of our college professors teach today in America. Someone once said, faith is no better than its object. That's a true statement. Now, because if what you believe is only a myth, then your belief, your faith, isn't worth a dime. Listen, our faith in Jesus Christ is not worth anything if Jesus Christ is still in the grave. Did you hear what I said? Let me make a statement, church. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because of his resurrection. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. In Romans, hold your place, we're coming back. Romans chapter 1. How do we know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? The answer is simple. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, not of man, of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. The gospel of God is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made, human body, of the seed, physical seed, of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, not of David, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Paul said the way you know that Jesus Christ is God is by the power of his resurrection from the dead. Listen to me, church. He did something that no human being in history ever did. He died, he was buried, and he came back to life. I'm so thankful for that today. So first, our preaching would be vain if there was no resurrection of the Lord. Second, our faith would be vain. But thirdly, think about this. If there were no resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples would all be deceivers. Go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Drop down to verse 14 now. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Brethren, listen to me. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then all of the disciples would have been false witnesses, deceivers, and liars. Listen to me. I want you to think about something for a moment here. Listen carefully. The disciples, the first century early Christians, they were tortured. They were persecuted. They died as martyrs because of their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. They had seen him after his death and resurrection, and they said, he is alive. Folks, listen to me. I want you to think about something. A man may live for a lie, but few, if any, will die for a lie. Hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. One will easily recant. The other will die for what he believes. Do you realize there have been 75 million martyrs in the last two millennia? 75 million Christians murdered, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. You think they died in vain? If he didn't rise from the dead, they did. Listen to me. Why in the world would the disciples of our Lord Jesus sacrifice everything in their lives to go into all the world preaching the gospel to anyone who would listen to them? Acts chapter 8. Look at this. Go back to the book of Acts. What did they do after Jesus Christ rose from the dead? They did the only appropriate thing. You seen a dead man come up out of the grave at the cemetery? It might affect you too. Look what happens here in Acts chapter 8. And Saul, who would become Paul, was consenting unto his death, Stephen, named our youngest son after him. And at that, Stephen was the first martyr. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. He was a great man of God. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Why? Because of their faith in the resurrection. Four. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Folks, listen to me. Why would they abandon everything and go everywhere they could preaching the gospel if Jesus Christ hadn't risen from the dead? Many of these believers that went everywhere preaching were killed, martyred for their faith. They never said it wasn't true. They never said we made it up. They died. They dropped, their last drop of blood was shed because of the resurrection. Why would they put their very lives into such jeopardy? All for a lie? All just a bunch of deceivers? I see another tragic fact which would be true if there were no resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, sin would be sovereign. Back to our text.
1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, sin would be reigning and ruling the day. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Yea, and we also ourselves are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. What? Did you hear what the apostle just stated? He said there's only one way that you can get out of your sins. That's if Jesus Christ rose for your justification. You got to get hold of this. Let me make a statement, church. We are all sinners by birth, sinners by nature, and sinners by practice. We're even sinners by choice. So if Jesus Christ failed, if he is not risen from the dead, we all are currently in the bondage of our sins. We're not forgiven, we're not saved, and we're not free. We're under sin's penalty, we're under sin's dominion, we're under sin's wages, which is eternal death. Notice carefully the wording here in verse 17. End of the verse. Ye are yet in your sins. What does that mean? This terminology occurs a few times in the Bible. Go with me to John chapter 8. Did you know that all people on planet Earth are one of two things? They are either in their sins or they are in Christ Jesus. There's no neutral ground. There's nobody trying to make progress. You're either there or you're not. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to a bunch of Jews. Some of them believed, most did not. And look what he tells them. In John chapter 8, verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. There's that term again. In your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, time out, church. Jesus is speaking here in the treasury of the temple, verse 20. And he's talking to the Jews which rejected him. And he says, you guys, you're going to die in your sins. Not in a state of forgiveness, but in your sins. And where I'm going, which we know is heaven, you can't come. Look at that. Drop down with me. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Is he suicidal? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. No, you're going to kill him. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. There it is again. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Over and over again, we find this term. That these foolish Jews would not believe. In fact, they're mocking him. You're going to kill yourself, son of God. You know? Folks, that's how people are today. They want to mock Jesus Christ and your faith in him. Colossians chapter 2. We'll see it one more time before we move on. You're either in your sins or you're in Christ Jesus. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, speaking of a Christian, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. That's spirit baptism, nothing to do with H2O. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Bingo! And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now notice here that he said you were in your sins, but now you're in him, risen with him, reigning with him. Woo! I'm so glad today that I am not in my sins anymore. Now here's the beauty of eternal security clearly revealed, church. One is either saved and in Jesus Christ, or one is lost and in their sin. And according to Paul here, in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, listen, if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, he says then all of us have no hope of forgiveness. We're all still in and under sin's dominion. Why? It's because God cannot simply overlook sin. If God were to cease to judge sin, then God would cease to be holy. And if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then that would mean that God did not accept the sacrifice of Calvary for your sins. And now there is absolutely no hope for salvation for humankind. Oh, folks, you got to realize the necessity, the absolute importance of that resurrection of Jesus Christ today. We who are regenerated spiritually know that God did accept the sacrifice of Calvary because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 clearly states this. In Romans chapter 4, look with me at verse 25. I love this verse so much. Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that's the righteousness of Christ, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You have to believe that, you can't be saved. Who was delivered, cross, for us offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Here we see the importance of the resurrection. It was for our justification. You are justified. That word justified, just as if I'd never sinned, you know, justified. Chapter 6 of Romans. A little one page over. Look at chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If Jesus Christ our Lord is dead and in a grave, how can he give eternal life to anybody? Ezekiel 18. Then we'll move on. Go back to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. And look with me in chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33 are all about sin and the soul that sins under the Old Testament dispensation. Okay? Now look at the wording here in Ezekiel chapter 18. Look with me in verse number 20. Don't miss this. The soul, everyone's got one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is a spiritual death stated in verse 20. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now notice, under the Old Testament dispensation, in order to get to paradise, you couldn't go to heaven, you had to die in a righteous state. That's keeping the commandments, that's going to the temple, that's offering the sacrifice, everything God commanded them to do. Say, Pastor, what would you do if you lived in the Old Testament? Everything that Moses told me to do. Everything, you know. Because I'd want to get to paradise. And this is the soul, notice, the soul that's in it, it shall die. It's a spiritual death. So all people have sinned. We know that. That means all people are spiritually dead apart from the life that Jesus Christ offers, okay? Now, we've seen that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, that our preaching is vain. We've seen that if he didn't rise from the dead, our faith is vain. We've seen that if he didn't rise from the dead, the disciples were all a bunch of liars. We've seen if he didn't rise from the dead, that sin is now sovereign, reigning, and none can be saved. But fifthly, if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, death would have complete dominion over mankind. Death would rule the day. Look with me back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15. It gets worse. Paul says if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Oh me, oh my. Did anybody hear what the apostle just stated? Oh, think about this, church. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then death would have total dominion over all mankind with no remedy of escape. No one could have eternal life. All would suffer the second death. Think of it, beloved. Every loved one that has gone on before us to heaven, every great servant of God, every great preacher, every single soul that ever believed in Jesus Christ is forever perished in their sins. And death holds them down in a devil's hell without any solution, according to verse number 18. If this were true, then Jesus Christ was the biggest deceiver in the history of the world. Listen to me. Jesus would be found guilty of pulling off the greatest charade in human history. He would be considered the world's greatest charlatan that ever lived. Look at verse 56. In verse 56, Paul boldly states, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." He says, without a judicial pardon from a blood atonement, death reigns because of sin. You see it in verse 56? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, I love this chapter so much because it tells you exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. But it's dependent upon his resurrection. Hebrews 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children," what children? Children of God. That's children of, that's believers. "Are partakers of flesh and blood, he," Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same." Why? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, truly, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them also that are tempted." He's saying here that the reason Jesus Christ died was to deliver you and me from death's power. If he didn't rise from the dead, then he didn't deliver anybody from death and its power, which Satan held. Okay? Now, clearly, if Jesus Christ did not conquer death in his resurrection, then death was victorious. And we all are doomed, church. But listen carefully. Because Jesus Christ, in the form of a human man, came to this earth, grappled with the iron bars of death, and rose from the grave, then we too can have victory over death because of his victory. Listen, his victory over death is our victory over death. His victory over sin is our victory over sin. His victory over the devil is our victory over the devil. Now, we've seen clearly that if he did not rise from the dead, our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. The disciples were all liars. Sin is now sovereign. Death has complete dominion. And finally, sixthly, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, the future would be fearful. Our future would be fearful. Back to our text. 1 Corinthians 15, look with me at verse 19. Verse 19, he says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Why? Why would we be so miserable if our hope in Jesus Christ was only temporal and only for as long as we live in this life? Think now. We would be most miserable of all people on earth for the simple fact that we do not live for this world and the things of it, but for the eternal world and the things of it. And because we who know Jesus Christ and the Bible also know the penalty of sin and the fearful future that sin brings on all who die in their sins, just think of it. Knowing that our future is nothing but eternal torment in the lake of fire and being eternally separated from our wonderful Creator who loved us unconditionally, what could possibly be worse than that? Therefore, Paul says, if we only have hope in this life, we would be most miserable of all human beings. Think of it, church. An old preacher once said, if Jesus Christ is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus Christ came out of that grave, nothing but that really matters. Amen. Nothing but that really matters. So Paul boldly proclaims that without the resurrection, we would be of all men most miserable, facing a fearful future without him. But oh, my brothers and sisters today, I've got good news in closing. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a hope, a blessed hope for our future that is steadfast and sure. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a home awaiting us in heaven. We have a glorious future of eternal bliss in the presence of the King. And we have endless joy and peace and rest that shall never fade away. Look with me in closing at verse 20. I love this part. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I love the but nows in the Bible. Paul gives you all the bad news only to say, but now he is alive. He is risen. He is our King. Glory to God. Church, I've got good news. You've got to know something today. Go with me to verse 50. It gets even better. In verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that he builds up to a climax, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death! Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Woo! I love the last three words of chapter 15. You're not in your sins. You're in the Lord. It's shouting time, church. And I've got such good news. That is this, in conclusion. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all gospel preaching is profitable. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all saving faith is feasible. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the disciples are dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. The future is fabulous. And you and I need to tell the world that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Woo! I'm so thankful today that he did it. He conquered the grave. He conquered that old devil. He conquered our sins and he got up. Woo! We celebrate his resurrection this Sunday. What about you, dear friend? Do you know Jesus Christ today? Do you know that you know that you know that he rose from the dead? Because if not, I've got good news for you too. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, church, today. In Romans chapter 10, I want to read a couple verses real quick and we'll be done. Look at it. Romans chapter 10. We begin reading in verse number 8. Paul's talking about saving faith and how you can get it. Question, but what saith it? What does the scripture say about saving faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach. That. If thou, I love it, anybody's name, if Miriam, if Scott, if Ellie, if Bobby, if anybody shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not baptized, believeth unto righteousness, not join a church, not tithe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Woo! That's the good news, church. I am so glad that I'm a whosoever. I'm so glad that you listening out there, wherever you are, you are a whosoever. And if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you believe, verse 9, that God hath raised him from the dead, it's a requirement, you shall be saved. I am so thankful for that. Father in heaven, thank you. What if there had been no resurrection? I am so thankful, Lord, that those six tragic facts are all untrue, because there was a glorious resurrection from the dead, and the Son of God accomplished it as none other ever did. And because he rose, we shall rise. Lord, I pray today that somebody gets saved. I pray today that many will come to the saving knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, the Muslims are wrong. Jesus was not just a good man and a prophet. Lord, the Jehovah Witnesses are wrong. Jesus was not just a good teacher. Lord, the Buddhists, the Krishnas, the Hindus, Lord, all of these false religions are wrong, because they don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Lord, I am so thankful that we here at KJV Bible Baptist Church in Manchester, New Hampshire, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and we have staked our eternity upon that fact. Lord, we will die believing that. We will never not believe that, because, Lord, you've proven it in so many ways. But Lord, I pray, if there's some lost soul listening to my voice today that needs salvation, I implore you, call upon his name now. Just pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried, and that you rose from the dead on the third day for my justification. Therefore, Lord Jesus, I repent. I turn from my sinful ways. I turn to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to be my Savior from sin. I ask you to justify my soul. I ask you to give me your Holy Spirit. I ask you to give me eternal life. I ask you to be mine, and let me be yours forever. I receive you, Lord Jesus, now into my heart and soul and life. Help me to live for you by your Holy Spirit for the rest of my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you rose for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's have a time of invitation. We'll grab our hymnals. And so glad that he's still saving souls. He's not done. The rapture, the trumpet hasn't blown yet. Oh, yes. Yeah, stand, and we'll turn to 130. The Pope announced this week that there is no hell. Funny how
I can announce the Pope has no brain.
Isn't it funny how people that are going to hell don't believe there is one?
Yeah,
interesting. 130, there is power in his blood. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth, people. And altar is open if you need it. Perhaps you just want to pray for some poor lost soul. Yeah.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of Lord. Would you be free from the passion and pride?
Yes!
Power in the blood, power in the blood.
Woo!
Come for cleansing till Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be service for Jesus, your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woohoo! Oh, good singing today, church. Praise the Lord. Don't forget this week to tell somebody that He is risen. He is risen, as He said. Glory to God. Going to have Brother Harriman dismiss us in prayer. And trust you all have a great week with the Lord, rejoicing in His resurrection.
I'm going to quote something. I believe I read this statement, and I think that day or shortly thereafter, that day, if you're a Christian, this world's the only hell you know. If you're a non-Christian, this world's the only heaven you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good trade. Accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, so you can have eternity. This life is so short, eternity so long. I want to spend it with the Lord.
Amen.
Please let me speak out and tell people more, to make a great effort to speak out more and tell people about the gospel. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, people. Funny man.